Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Russ Stewart bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Sarah Heiner, President, CEO of Bottom Line Publications, bottomlineinc.com, twice monthly edition, print and online edition, chock full of little nuggets of cool information. For your personal life, for your business. Sarah, thanks again for being here. One of the things that you taught guys covered recently was about changing your mind, about how to change minds. Tell us about that.
Let me just say, in Bottom Line, we talk about this all the time, actually. It was an interesting combination. We have Bottom Line has longer articles like this Change Your Mind, big feature so that you get a lot of information on it. And we have, 40 tidbits of just smarts, just little things in every issue. So that
nuggets.
This great combination of information. The nuggets of wisdom, right? Yep. Changing your mind. It's so crazy, right? You go, how come I can't change someone's mind? Because we're pushing at them, right? We're forcing them. We interviewed Jonah Berger, and he was the author of The Catalyst, How to Change People's Minds. And he said there are three big barriers to people changing their minds, and that as you're trying to force somebody into your mindset, we forget that when people are pushed, they push back. That's number one. Number two, people like to stick with the status quo. They don't really like change. Shocker. They like what they like.
The research shows 2/3 of people do not like change. They do not want it.
No, they don't. And, in fact, you have to show them the upside. Unless you can show them that the upside of changing is 2.5 times better than what they have, they're not going to do it.
What's in it for me?
Right, exactly. And then related to that is that they don't want extreme change. And so if you want them to just do something utterly outside of whatever their comfort zone is, they don't like that at all. You have to move them bit by bit by bit. So we talked about strategies for each of these.
Well, and of course, one of the things that's going on right now with this coronavirus pandemic is this is changing us, all of us, whether we like it or not, and some of us are making there are some things we're doing right now that a year ago people would have said, are you out of your mind? Nobody does that, and yet it's being thrust upon us, and so it's kind of reworking our attitude towards change, isn't it?
Well, it's forcing us into change in some ways, right? We had no choice. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's going to be interesting is that people, to my observation, are falling into two camps. There's the camp that says this is the worst sickness going. It's now the plague. Nobody should get sick, and we're all going to, we have to do everything we can to prevent another single person from getting sick or dying of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other camp that says this is another ailment. There are things that we can do.
Right.
To strengthen
we manage risk all the time.
Right. We have to. So the challenge is, how do we bring those two groups together? Right. So in particular, so here's a perfect example. When people balk at extreme change, because these are such extreme challenges, it's how do you move them a little bit? How can you find, in this case, safety for the people to come out? Be it, last night the president was talking about some treatments. Do they know that if this becomes a treatable thing, then can they come out of their house?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And on the flip side is, do you need to understand that that protections do need to be made so that there may be long-term shifts that we need to do. Businesses in particular, it's going to be a very long time.
So convincing people how to accept the news, which we're going to have over the next year, we're going to have a lot of news. We're going to have vaccines. We're going to have two or three different vaccines that some will work, some won't. We'll have different treatments. We'll have the flattening of the curve, and maybe we'll think it's okay to come out. And those are all changes that somebody's going to have to convince people to make, isn't it?
Well, the biggest thing with all of it is we all like control. We're all secret control freaks.
Except for you and me.
So, Oh, no, we're the biggest control freaks. There's no question about that.
I'm a control, a control enthusiast.
Well, okay. I mean, but you like to know, you like to feel like you have control. No one likes to feel like they've been backed into a corner, right? So they need to have options. You need to feel like you've got some choice in it. You know, even if it's, do you want to take the vaccine or do you want to, take a treatment? No, not at all.
I'm
teasing. You know, the stats on these people, I mean, people think that if you're 80 years old, you're dead from this. There are so many stories, even in the worst group on COVID. The worst group, like the most at-risk crowd of the 80-plus-year-olds, they're getting it at 20%. They're not even dying it. They're getting it at that level. So that it's not – but with all of these things, that it's all about giving people choices, having people feel like they've got some control. Remember, you know, when your kids were little and they wanted to push back?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no, I don't want broccoli for dinner. You don't say, you're having this. You say, would you rather have broccoli or would you rather have snow peas? Would you rather have,
That wasn't what happened in my house.
but think about what if it had? What if you gave your kids a little bit more control?
Right.
What if when the kids were kids, you said, would you rather wear the blue shirt or the red shirt? Versus, here, I want you to wear your, you know, long sleeve.
Right, and salespeople have known about this for a long time.
Like, we're all grown kids.
It's the alternative clothes. Salespeople have been doing this for years. The alternative clothes is, do you want that delivered on Wednesday or Friday? You know, that's
exactly.
But it gives them
the choice. You ask them questions. Yeah. You give them the control of it, right? You point out the hidden cost of not changing, right? So, in terms back to coronavirus, what's going to be the cost to all of us if we don't learn to adapt to this?
In fact, when we come back, I want you to talk about your blog, Save Yourself First. She has a great Save Yourself First blog. She and I will talk about it after the break. Check out Sarah's blog there, folks. Don't forget bottomlineinc.com. Tintail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.